right here at Tennis's Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-800-259-5791. But please do not call unless we ask for the calls, because we're going to have a fascinating program. Our guest is Kenneth Timmerman. We're going to be talking about his book, Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran. Now, this book was written last year. Kenneth has done a lot of first-hand investigative reporting, and you must understand that something big is in the offing. Iran is moving their money out of European banks because they know that we're on a countdown to a crisis at the present time. The Israelis are talking about a strike on Iran sometime, perhaps by the end of March. We hear from many reliable sources that the American diplomats have been meeting with Turkish diplomats to get their support for an attack on Iran. We find that there's meetings being held in Europe with France and Germany and Great Britain, Italy, the United States, trying to get their support for an attack on Iran. I think it's only a matter of time before we are at war with probably at least Iran and perhaps Syria as well. Now, whether it'll be a war or whether it'll simply be air attacks, I don't know. But something big is in the offering. And even Russia and China are not fully opposed to what is going on today. But Ken Timmerman was writing about this. Well, he was writing about it last year. And a fascinating book. In fact, we actually carry this book. I think it's so important. And I'm so glad we have Ken back on today to talk more about it, because he talks about Osama bin Laden. Where is Osama bin Laden hiding? Go ahead, Ken. You tell the story.
Yes, well, I heard the question, Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks very much for having me on.
It's always good to have you.
Well, the latest news is that bin Laden may be hiding in Iran. I was able to uncover that there are a series of safe houses that the Iranian intelligence was using to shift him about from place to place and keep him beyond the reach of American intelligence and also Pakistani intelligence.
And of course, I always felt that we knew exactly where bin Laden was, but we didn't seem to be that anxious to do anything. In fact, you based a lot of your book on defectors who were really very reliable, trying to tell the Americans what was going on, and American intelligence, the CIA, just didn't want to listen to them.
Well, that's right, and this is a problem within the CIA in particular. Dealing with defectors, they believe that in general they have a very hard time dealing with defectors. Anyone that they do not control absolutely 100%, in other words, anybody but a paid agent. Defectors tend to come out from a country like Iran or before from the Soviet Union with a lot of baggage. They may have had problems with their family. They may have had problems with a divorce. They may have had money problems. They may be coming out seeking money, but they also come out with critical intelligence, and it's key to spend the time with them, no matter how annoying they may be or difficult as individuals they may be, to try to get that information out of them. And I've spent about the past 2.5 years with a series of Iranian defectors who had senior positions in Iranian intelligence, who brought me some pretty incredible pieces of intelligence, which I was able to then go and corroborate with other sources. And that's what made it into Countdown to Crisis.
Yeah, and of course, really, what was really so fascinating is the fact that you write that Iran already has some nuclear weapons. Now, we got this a long time ago from Yosef Podansky, who's, I'm sure you know who Yosef is, and he's been talking for a long time about Iran already has weapons they bought on the open market, but of course, they want to be able to produce them as well. When we get back, we're going to get into this incredible story, information you're not going to get from other sources. Ken Timmerman is certainly very reliable as information. I think he's certainly checked it out again. We're on a countdown to crisis right now, ladies and gentlemen. The world we live in may change very, very soon.
For months now, you've been hearing about the incredible health benefits of Zango, the functional health beverage made from the whole fruit of mangosteen. What you probably didn't know is that Zango joined forces with the leading manufacturer and distributor of functional health beverages like Capri Sun, Sobe, Mystic, and Red Bull to create the fastest growing business opportunity in America today. Are you sick of barely having enough money? Are you tired of working so hard yet feeling like you'll never get ahead? Are you ready to start investing in your own business instead of somebody else's? Whatever it is you seek, Zango could be that special company that helps you achieve your hopes and dreams. So take matters into your own hands. Create a future that doesn't depend on a fickle 401k and lateral promotions. Zango is what you are looking for. Find out more by calling 888-203-6633 or visit mangosteenmarkets.com. That's M-A-N-G-O-S-T-E-E-N markets.com. Call 888-203-6633 today.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here. You know murky water filters have been removing pathogenic bacteria for years. But what about those unhealthy chemicals and heavy metals in your water? The powerful black murky purification elements fit most gravity filters and dramatically increase their power to extract waterborne contaminants. Best of all, they filter much faster than ordinary gravity elements. This means it takes much less time to filter your water. Black murky elements not only remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites, but also remove trihalomethanes and volatile organic elements such as atrazine, benzene, chloride, and chloroform, MTBE, radon 222, foul taste and obnoxious odors like sulfur, even nitrates, and unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum are extracted. Supercharge your gravity filter today and order a 2-pack of Black Berkey Purification Elements for only $96 or a 4-pack for only $175 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Kenneth Timmerman. His book is Countdown to Crisis, which I think is so apropos right now, because I feel we're on the verge of something very big. Are they trying to scare us to death? Well, maybe they are. I think they're going to succeed. But I think we're on the edge of a financial crisis. I think pulling money out of the European banks, we're talking about billions of dollars, is going to contract the European economy because they're not going to have that money to lend out. Money is being moved to China, into India, into Malaysia, places like that. But we're talking about billions and billions of dollars. Iran is very soon going to be opening their own oil exchange, and the rumor has it they're going to be asked to be paid in certainly in euros rather than in dollars. But more than that, Iran is working very, very hard to develop its own nuclear weapons. Iran has been working with al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden for a long period of time. Now, I don't know why that should come as such a surprise to America. I don't think al-Qaeda had very much to do with Iraq, but I think they had a great deal to do with Iran. I think that Saddam Hussein didn't like al-Qaeda. He felt that they were a threat to his ruthless dictatorship, whereas on the other hand, there was a camaraderie between Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda and the Iranian government or Iranian officials. So you pick up the story there, Ken, because you know it a lot better than I do.
Yeah, the al-Qaeda Iran story goes back quite a ways, actually, to 1993 when Osama bin Laden was still in the Sudan. And we know about those relationships from a variety of sources. One of them was bin Laden's own bodyguard, an Egyptian named Muhammad Ali, who later became a U.S. Special Forces officer. I mean, it's kind of ironic, and was implicated in the East Africa embassy bombings in 1998, and now is in a maximum security prison here in the United States. Ali Muhammad testified in court of Iranian government officials coming to meet with bin Laden in 1994 in the Sudan, and he actually organized the security for one of the meetings. It was very significant because the person who came to see bin Laden to set up an operational relationship with the Iranians was none other than Ibad Mughniyeh. He's the top terrorist operator for Iranian intelligence. This is the man who blew up the U.S. Embassy in Beirut. This is the man who orchestrated the murder of 241 Marines in Beirut in 1983. He has had his fingerprints on dozens of terrorist operations around the world, and he was made bin Laden's case officer in 93.
But, you know, the most amazing thing about that story, Ken, is the fact that our government knew when they killed those 240-plus Marines back in 1983 and blew up our embassy in Lebanon in 1983, they knew that Hezbollah was behind this, and they knew that Hezbollah was an extension of Iran, and they did absolutely nothing. And when they took William Buckley, who was our station chief there in Beirut, and they took him off to Iran, they tortured him to death, our government didn't do anything. They knew that Iran was behind so much of what was going on, probably deeply involved with the bombing of Riyadh and the Khobar Towers, and we did absolutely nothing. And none of this really makes sense.
Well, you know, Stan, it's funny. When you tell what actually happened, and I tell the story of the Beirut bombing and Countdown to Crisis, because I think it's important to understand what's going on today. These stories sound uncannily contemporary, as if they had just happened.
Right.
Here's what we know now, and I learned this from the U.S. decision makers who were in the loop, who were involved in this. There was an intercept which probably the NSA had gotten between Tehran and the Iranian embassy in Damascus, giving the order to blow up the Marine barracks in October 1983. Well, the intercept, according to some of the individuals involved, including Caspar Weinberger, defense secretary at the time, whom I interviewed, never made its way up the chain of command. So he never knew about it. They had this order 4 weeks before the bombing. And arguably, if they had acted on it, they could have beefed up security there and prevented the deaths, or at least rendered the attack less deadly. But Weinberger says he never got it.
Now, what do you believe, Weinberger? That's the question. Can you believe any of these people?
Really? Well, yeah, I looked in this in great, great detail, and you look at the gatekeepers. At the time, Weinberger's military chief of staff was a man named Colin Powell, a major general, I believe he was major general at the time, Colin Powell. And Powell's people absolutely swore up and down that he never saw the intercept, and if he had seen the intercept, it would have gotten to Weinberger. But I also talked to other people, including the then Secretary of the Navy, who said he'd seen the intercept. And since he was lower down in the chain of command, it meant that it had to have gone up to the Secretary of Defense. I mean, it's a very, very confusing and bizarre story. Everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else. And you know what? That's exactly what's going on today and with 9/11. And I tell those stories in Countdown to Crisis as well. The information that was brought into the intelligence community by defectors about Iran's material involvement in the 9/11 plot, and the CIA just blew them away. They didn't want to hear about it.
And of course, you mentioned Robert Byrd in your book. Of course, he wrote the book See No Evil, we do carry as well. And Robert Byrd certainly says that he verified exactly what you're saying. They knew ahead of time the attack was coming on the Marine barracks, and they did nothing to protect those Marines. And you know, I don't think I'm rather impressed that Byrd is somebody who's telling the truth.
Yeah, and he was in the loop at the time. He was on the ground, and Colonel Garrity, who was the commander of the Marines at the time, was flabbergasted when he learned later about the intercept. But you know, on the other hand, he said we were getting scores of threats every day. So he asked the question, even if we had had that intercept, would we have done anything more? He wasn't entirely sure.
Well, of course, right now we are facing, I think, a very, very real crisis. And I'd like your take on what I was talking about when we began, the fact that Iran is moving their money out of Europe. Obviously, they know something's coming down the line. You know, certainly there's very little question that Iran is working as hard as they can to develop their ability to produce nuclear weapons. But you mentioned they already have at least 15.
Well, no. What I say, let me be very precise here, Stan. If they had used the equipment that they imported, that we know that they imported, through the AQCON network, the black market network run by the Pakistani father of the atomic bomb, if they had used that equipment as they had imported it starting in 93, 94, 95, by the time the International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors began to go into Iran in February of 2003, Iran would have been able to manufacture enough nuclear weapons material to make between probably 20 to 25 bombs. Now, did they actually make the material? We don't know this as a fact. However, I would just submit to you the following. The IAEA says they have no evidence that Iran made the material. And you ask them why? Well, because the Iranians told us that they left this equipment in warehouses for 8 years and never used it. That's what you've got to believe if you believe the Iranians were not enriching uranium all that time, that there were no international inspectors around, that they left this stuff in crates. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars acquiring it. They went to all the trouble going on the black market, and they just let it sit in the warehouse.
Well, now, what about the fact that the suggestion made by some people that they had acquired at least a few atomic bombs on the open market?
Yes, there have been a number of stories to that effect, and I look into that in some detail in the book. Josef Bedansky has looked into that as well. There have been fake stories and then real stories, I think Josef has more credibility on this. He and I agree with his assessment that there was probably a transfer of some Soviet-era nuclear artillery shells, perhaps a Scud warhead in 1992, but that did not make an arsenal. The Iranians wanted a nuclear arsenal. They wanted to be able to manufacture all of the material themselves in Iran. They wanted to have control over it, and they wanted to be able to build up a sizable arsenal so they could, in their eyes, be able to deter either a U.S. or an Israeli attack.
All right. Do you think that they have at least a few atom bombs that they've been able to get, or at least a few atomic weapons that they would have available to them at the present time?
I believe they do, but this is a conclusion that I come to based on what I know. It is not a hard fact. It is an opinion.
What about their availability of missiles? Now, haven't they gotten some missiles either from North Korea, from Communist China?
Yes. Now, that's not a judgment or an opinion. that I can state as a flat-out fact. They have a large, significant arsenal, several score missiles that are capable of reaching Israel today. We also know that they have redesigned the warheads, the reentry vehicles of those missiles, in late 2004. To be able to carry a nuclear weapon. Why do you go to the trouble of redesigning the reentry vehicles of your missiles to carry a nuclear weapon if you're going to send a cement brick?
Well, of course, the thing is that they have been, apparently, we're working with Mr. Khan, Dr. Khan from Pakistan, our good friends in Pakistan, and Khan was actually giving them the wherewithal, at least the knowledge how to create these nuclear weapons.
Absolutely correct, and he had a consulting arrangement with the Iranian Atomic Energy Organization, which I uncovered, that started in 1987. I mean, absolutely extraordinary. The Iranians were working for 18 years in secret. The nuclear watchdog, so-called watchdog in Vienna, saw nothing. The man at the head of that organization for most of that time, Hans Blix, believes that he is God's gift to mankind for having tried to block the U.S. Liberation of Iraq in 2003, and now he comes to Washington this week trying to convince everybody that Iran is not a threat. They're 10 years at least away from nuclear weapons, and all of this talk by people like me and others is just neocon babble and warmongering.
Well, Congressman Weldon has certainly wrote a book which exactly paralleled yours, worried about the imminent war with Iran. Have you been in contact with Congressman Weldon?
Oh, I tell Mr. Weldon's story in Countdown to Crisis about his defector. We can talk about that if you want. It's a pretty extraordinary story about him going to take a contract killer into Iran.
All right, fine. You're going to have to, for out there in the listening audience, you're going to have to hang on during the advertisements. We'll be right back here with Kenneth Timmerman, Countdown to Crisis.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Hi, folks. Jack Browning from Midas Resources, the real money folks. Let's review a few things from the past year, November 2003 to November 2004. The Dow has ranged from 9,800 to 10,300, a 5% increase. The dollar's value has dropped from 96 cents to 70 cents against the euro, a 24% decrease in spending power against the gold-backed euro. Gold has gone from the 390s to the 440s, a 16% increase in real money. Precious metals are the safe haven in today's hectic marketplace. To learn how to protect your shrinking dollar, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. Remember, gold is liquid, private, and portable. Call now before your buying power shrinks even more dramatically. That's Midas Resources at 800-686-2237.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of micropore filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard to find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Ken Timmerman. His book is Countdown to Crisis. We think it's an important book and we recommend it to you. We do carry that through my ministry, and we'll give you the number later on. But right now, let's talk a little bit about Congressman Kurt Weldon, because he's been on the front lines of this battle. He's the congressman who had uncovered, or at least popularized, the story about Abel Danger, the fact that the government was watching Osama bin Laden, this one military intelligence unit, because you have to understand, we got 14 intelligence units, and we got an awful lot of smart people out there, and I think that they were monitoring a lot of what was going on, but they can't very well let us know that, because then how would they justify what happened on 9/11? But anyway, Congressman Kurt Weldon's been trying to get this story out, but he's also been very worried about what's going on in Iran. So you pick up the story there, Ken.
Yeah, let me first just a quick word about Abel Danger. I've spoken to Mr. Weldon about this many, many times, and well before the story became public. And my understanding of what happened is that he was interested in promoting a multi-discipline sort of data mining operation where the U.S. Army could use some of its public source resources, not gathering information on people in their private lives, not spying on people per se, but gathering what was publicly available out on the Internet and through other publicly available databases. And what was extraordinary there is that they did turn up information on a number of the 9/11 hijackers a year before the hijacking took place, before September 11th. And that even more extraordinary was that the fact that the Clinton administration lawyers at the Department of Defense ordered them to destroy the information and not to pass it on to the FBI because it might infringe on the privacy rights of
These people who were in this country. They were not citizens.
Who were not
they
citizens.
Were visitors here.
They were not even green card holders.
Right.
They were just visitors. So
right.
that is the kind of detail. And I think it's important that people understand that because we don't kind of make this great big amorphous cloud of warrantless spying and domestic spying and things like that. That's not what it was. It was something that you or I could have done had we had the manpower and the computing power, but just going into public resources.
Okay, fine. Well, let's then go ahead with Kurt Weldon. Something taking an assassin in there?
Oh, yes. Well, here's a story. See, I think Mr. Weldon is a national treasure, and he has been out front in a number of things for many, many years. He's one of the first members of Congress who alerted America to dangers that required missile defense. He's been talking about electromagnetic pulse, the possibility for a terrorist nation such as Iran to launch a nuclear weapon 300 kilometers in the atmosphere. So it wouldn't destroy a city, but it would basically fry all of the electronics in America, computer chips, silicon chips, computer relays, telecommunication systems, our transportation systems would shut down, our power plants would shut down. We would have an absolutely devastating effect, far greater than a nuclear attack, except there wouldn't be the loss of life, not the immediate loss of life. So he's really been somebody who's been out in front in a number of areas, and I salute him. This story on Iran it has a comic side, and I'll try to tell it with that in light, even though it is ultimately a very serious story, because it involves Osama bin Laden, and it involves an attempt to capture bin Laden in Iran and the refusal of the U.S. intelligence community to do anything about it. Mr. Weldon had heard from a number of sources that bin Laden was in a particular location in Iran. This is in 2003. And I had been hearing some information along those lines as well. Mr. Weldon was in a position to do something about it. So he called a friend of his who was a former contract employee of one of the 14 U.S. intelligence organizations that you mentioned, you alluded to earlier. And this individual had been a paramilitary. And so Weldon said, look, why don't we go in there? I'm going to lead a delegation into Iran, and you come on in with me. We'll get your visas. You come in as part of the delegation and stay behind and capture the guy. So he goes to the then director of Central Intelligence, who's George Tenet, of course. And he lays all this out to Tenet. He says, you know, we got this hard intelligence. We know exactly where bin Laden is. And we can go in and take him out. And I've got a guy who's going to do that. And after Tenet picked himself up off the floor, after hearing this, he turned to Weldon. He said, you know, Congressman, I don't think you should get involved in this kind of thing.
Well, I will tell you that I do not believe the CIA has ever intended to get rid of bin Laden. We need an enemy, and boy, do you know a better specter that we can all hate than that man with the turban and the long beard. And you know, it's sort of like in 1984, I think it was Goldberg or whatever his name was. He was the one, they put a picture up on the screen. He was the enemy of Big Brother, and everybody booed. And I don't think that they really want to get rid of bin Laden. We'll be back in just a moment.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives in education.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using the Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll free 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and Ken was simply telling us how Congressman Weldon, you know, had a plan to eliminate Osama bin Laden, and it didn't sound like Mr. Tenet was very interested in finding or eliminating Osama bin Laden. What was his remark? You really shouldn't involve yourself in this sort of thing?
Yes, he really, well, he didn't think a U.S. congressman ought to be trying to pull off a covert operation in a very, very difficult country such as Iran, with which we have no diplomatic relations, by the way. We have no embassy. We have, we don't have anything on the ground, and we don't have an awful lot of spies there, if we have any at all.
Well, but I'm sure that the Mossad does. I'm sure the Mossad knows everything that's there. I mean, they've got a very efficient intelligence organization. How come the Jews are so much smarter than we are?
Well, Mossad operates differently than we do, and they tend to focus on one problem at a time. It's a very small organization. In fact, published reports say that they have something like 200 operatives. That's it. We have at the CIA, we're supposed to have something like 4,000 or 5,000 people in the directorate of operation, perhaps more than that. So Mossad concentrates all of its assets on one problem, and their problem right now is Iran, 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 Iran.
All right, fine. Well, of course, the budget of the CIA is supposed to be a secret, but somebody said the other day it was $44 billion. Maybe we ought to just contract a little bit, hire the Mossad, and probably do a lot better job than our people would.
Well, a number of people have thought that. The $44 billion figure is for the entire intelligence community, not just the CIA. And so that includes your 14 intelligence organizations, Defense Intelligence Agency, the military intelligence agencies, NSA, the National Security Agency, which is actually the largest of all of them, because they're the ones who operate those very, very expensive billion-dollar satellites. So it is the entire community, but I sure take your point. You wonder sometimes what we're getting for our money.
Okay, fine. Well, let's, of course, talk a little bit about your concern, because you really believe that we're going to have a showdown with Iran, and, of course, you were writing this last year, and yet right now it certainly seems to be a lot more imminent than it was last year.
I think it is, and I think the countdown to crisis in the title of my book, which was originally published in June, but is coming out now in a second edition with some new material in it. That crisis is now upon us. It's upon us because for the past 2.5 years, the International Atomic Energy Agency has slow rolled the problem. Mohammed El Baradei, who's the director of the agency, has not wanted to confront Iran, and the Europeans have been very hesitant. I tell some of the stories of the back door, behind the scenes, if you wish, behind closed door negotiations in Vienna, and it's really quite extraordinary. You hear the way that delegates from Germany are insulting the Americans who are there in the room, and our diplomats want to be polite. They do still try to be polite. I've got to tell you, Stan, it's not always easy in those circumstances to be that polite. But they try to be polite, and they're trying to bring people around to our point of view. It's taken 2.5 years. Finally, the Europeans have recognized, they've woken up, that Iran poses a clear and present danger, not just to America, not just to Israel, but to them as well. And that's why this crisis is coming to a head, and the whole shebang is coming to New York, to the UN Security Council in a couple of weeks.
And of course, what really bothers me is when wars start, you never know how they're going to end. I mean, the First World War started with just a minor incident, the assassination of the Archduke there, Archduke Ferdinand, and it ended up with 21 million people dead and another 40 million wounded, and it was never supposed to have ended up like that. And, sometimes when wars start, you never know how they're going to end it, which is really my major concern, especially when you're talking about the use, potentially, of nuclear weapons.
Well, you're absolutely right, but we also have to keep in mind that if a war does start, it's very clear where the responsibility lies. It's the Iranian government, which has refused repeatedly to comply with any kind of verifiable controls on its nuclear programs. You know, they signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty in 1970, and under the treaty, countries are given access to civilian nuclear technology, but it's not a right. It is conditional, and it's conditioned on those recipient countries giving full and verified access to international inspectors to all of their nuclear activities and to formally foregoing, giving up any nuclear weapons research or programs.
Well, maybe you can explain to me, because there's a lot of unanswered questions out there. The new president of Iran, whose name I will not try to pronounce, but he's doing a lot of irrational things. He's talking about wiping Israel off the face of the map, moving Israel over to Europe. He's talking about the Holocaust never happening. He's refused to negotiate with the International Energy Commission or with the United Nations. He's refused Russia's offer to enrich the uranium for him, so it couldn't, they'd have the fuel for a nuclear plant but not for making weapons. Why would any rational individual do everything they could to inflame the world, almost like they're inviting or encouraging a war?
Well, you mentioned their refusal, the Iranians' refusal to to the Russian offer to enrich uranium. And I think that is one of the clearest examples that betrays their nuclear intentions. If they wanted nuclear power, they have had dozens of opportunities to do just this, to get the fuel, to have it under international controls, get it into their power plants, and get it out. And by the way, that's a tremendous service, because it ain't a lot of fun to do that, okay? It's a dirty job. It's a potentially dangerous job, and the Russians were offering to do it. When they made the first offer in 1995, they offered 10 years of fuel for $30 million. 10 years of fuel for $30 million. The Iranians have spent over $1 billion to acquire the facilities to make the fuel themselves.
So what is really going on doesn't make any sense, but what I really don't understand, Ken, is why don't they just lie? I mean, politicians lie all the time, as you well know. And, you know, why don't they just say, fine, we'll play your game, you know, we'll negotiate all the time secretly going ahead with their plans, exactly as we know that these North Koreans have done. Other countries do. They lie. I mean, Pakistan lied for a long time about their working on the atomic bomb. So, I mean, what I don't understand, it appears to me, and maybe I'm just a little simple, but it appears to me as if the leader of Iran is doing everything he can to precipitate a crisis.
Yes, well, I think you're right in that appreciation, but they also have been lying.
Well, no question they've been lying.
They also have been lying. They, in fact, it was quite amusing. The very day that the new president, whose name is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, took office...
I'm glad you can pronounce that.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought I'd help you on that. That was in August of 2005. That very day, the former top nuclear negotiator had an interview with with Iranian television. He was being criticized. He was being criticized by hardliners who said, why are you negotiating with the Europeans? There's nothing to negotiate. We're never going to give up our nuclear capabilities. And so challenged by them in that way, he said, well, you must understand what we were really doing. We have just bought ourselves 2 years, 2.5 years, in fact. And during that time that we were talking to the Europeans and lying to the Europeans, we continue to build our facilities, and now they are complete, or nearly complete. So they've also been lying. Let's not forget that.
All right, fine. Well, what amazes me, he hasn't continued lying. And, anyway, I think we're in real trouble, but I don't think the average American can imagine the implications of an expanded war in the Middle East. This is what worries me. I don't think they're prepared for it psychologically. So I'm afraid there's going to be some sort of an incident to get us to be willing to go along with that. But there's no question that Iran has been one of the major financiers terrorism, certainly ever since the Shah was toppled back there in 1979.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And if there is a war in the Middle East, it will be of Iran's precipitation. They will have precipitated the war. I believe that this president is doing everything he possibly can to avoid a war. He doesn't want to avoid a war for the sake of avoiding a war. He would like to avoid a war by solving the problem in a different way. And the ironic thing here, Stan, is Hillary Clinton criticized the president a couple of days ago for doing what? For seeking the help, seeking a diplomatic solution by asking our allies for help. That was Hillary Clinton. She said, we ought to do this unilaterally. We're a strong power. We should be able to solve this problem by ourselves. We don't need France and Britain and Germany to help us.
Well, I think that it is incredibly naive. I think we've done such a great job of antagonizing the Muslim world, and we certainly can't depend on Russia or China. The last allies we have are in Europe, and Hillary wants us to alienate them as well.
Well, and the irony, Stan, of course, is that during the build-up to the Iraq War, the criticism of the Bush administration was that they didn't turn to the allies, right? They were not being multilateral in their approach. So, you know, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Well, I think the thing that frightens me even more than a war with Iran is the specter of President Hillary Clinton. And I'm just afraid. I'm very much afraid that by the year 2008, we're going to have a hard time electing a Republican dog catcher anywhere in this country. But we're going to have to wait and see how that unfolds. And that's out of the realm of your book.
That's out of the realm of my book.
Fascinating. But you really have, of course, you've talked to some of these defectors, haven't you?
Oh, I certainly have, and spent an awful lot of time with them. You asked about Ahmadinejad earlier. Let me give you a kind of amusing anecdote. And you mentioned that he had said that the Jews should go back to Europe where they came from Germany and Austria and countries like that. Remember that? That was what he said?
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, here is the defense minister of Israel, a man named Shaul Mofaz. Well, it turns out that Mr. Mofaz was born in the village of Gamsar. In fact, that is Mr. Ahmadinejad's native village. The two lived there for 1 year together. They were there both in the year of 1958, just before Mr. Mofaz's parents left Iran and came to Israel. So if all the Jews were to leave Israel and go back to their homeland, there'd be tens of thousands who'd be going back to Iran.
Right. Well, of course, and being a Jew over there is very, very difficult because, unfortunately, why, none of the bases there other than Israel welcomes them.
Well, absolutely correct. I mean, I said this as a joke, but it is ironic that, you know, Ahmadinejad has really, he is so steeped in the zealotry of a faction of the Shia Muslim radical sect that he has, in many ways, lost touch with reality.
Well, now, do you think that the Iranians have their facilities for manufacturing their nuclear weapons deeply buried underground? And if certainly if that is true, you know, you're going to have to really have some very, very powerful weapons to ferret them out. It's not going to be like the easy bombing Israel had in 1980 in Iraq.
That's absolutely correct. And what I find kind of interesting here, Stan, is that the Israelis just recently called back from Washington the man who led that bombing on the Osirak reactor in Iraq in the June of 1981, Amos Yadlin. And they called him back to Israel for a very key post. He has become the head of military intelligence. I also note, I think it's not a coincidence, that the current head of Mossad, a guy named General Meir Dagan, well, I happened to run into General Dagan a couple of years ago in a Jerusalem office belonging to Ehud Olmert, who is currently the Prime Minister of Israel, and Dagan was serving as his counterterrorism advisor. So you've got some key people in Israel advising the Prime Minister. There's no power vacuum, and unfortunately, the Iranian government believes that there is. And
well, of course, the thing that right now, of course, we see a close alliance between Syria and Iran. And certainly, also, everything points to the fact that we're intent upon changing the government of Syria. So, really, there's a powder keg over there. The average American is totally oblivious of what's going on. You know, he's much more interested in who's going to win, you know, the Super Bowl in 2 weeks rather than the fact that we could have a major war, major expansion of the middle, a war in the Middle East. And we've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of soldiers there, not only in Iraq, but, of course, in some of the other countries around there that certainly would be sitting ducks if there were a nuclear war.
Well, that's absolutely right. And you know, I pray that the average Americans would be able to focus on the Super Bowl and not on questions like this. But unfortunately, we're coming to a real showdown. We are coming to a crisis. It's coming to a head. This regime has a long, long terrorist record. They are acquiring capabilities to carry out their murderous intentions. And they are playing multi-dimensional chess with us. And my fear is that our administration, our government, is playing marbles.
I think that is a very nice analogy. You know, marbles is a game that little boys play. Multi-dimensional chess is something that sophisticated diplomats play. And unfortunately, I don't think that the people who are leading America's foreign policy today have graduated from grammar school.
Well, I don't mean that. That's not what I'm trying to suggest. I should perhaps be a little bit more careful in my analogy because I think we have some pretty we do have some pretty good people.
Well, you have to live with them. I don't. I'm here on the West Coast.
Fair enough. I hear you. But my point is simply that the Iranians are really playing three, four, five, six moves ahead. You saw what they did. We mentioned earlier in the program with pulling their assets out of Europe. That was in anticipation of a move that the U.S. and our allies could take three, four, five moves down the road. So they were already preparing for that move. They're making their counter move now. They're lining up their pieces so that they will be protected when we take that move three or four or five moves down the road. So I think that's a pretty sophisticated thing to do. I would hope that we are looking forward in the same way. I can tell you that at the Pentagon they are wargaming this, should, God forbid, this ever come to war. They are looking at possible contingency plans. It's what we pay them to do. But they are doing that, and the Israelis are doing the same thing.
But the thing is, there's no way we could use ground forces going in there. Neither the Israelis or the Americans have the forces to do it. So we would have to, of course, use our sophisticated air power. And I can't imagine that we could have that much of an impact, you know, because we've exhausted so much of our conventional explosives, and about the only thing we have left is the possibility of at least a limited nuclear exchange.
Oh, I don't think so. No.
You don't think so?
No.
All
right. Don't worry. We've got plenty of ordnance left, and we can manufacture more bombs. That's not a problem. Some of the largest Iranian nuclear sites are. Some of them are above ground. Others are buried. We have built penetrator bombs, deep earth penetrator bombs that are conventional. They're not nuclear. We sold to the Israelis 500 of these bombs last February in a very public transfer as a message to the Iranians to let them know that your buried sites are not beyond our reach. And the Israeli has been practicing with that. So. No, we have plenty of means, if, God forbid, the need should arise, to take out, through airstrikes and missile strikes that are non-nuclear, the sites that we're most worried about in Iran.
Well, Ken, I certainly hope and pray that you are right, that we can do that, and if the exchange comes, that nobody even contemplates using any nuclear weapons. Our guest has been Ken Timmerman. A book, Countdown to Crisis. And, of course, you know the number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. Ken, thanks so much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you later this week. Bye-bye.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, 2 Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of 2 Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
You need your cup of coffee each morning, right? But you're not sure if it's right for your health. Now there's Gano Coffee. Gano Coffee is the new low-acid, low-caffeine, naturally healthy coffee. What makes Gano Coffee special is the secret ingredient Ganoderma, a concentration of red reishi mushroom, also known as the miraculous king of herbs. Known for its high nutritional value, reishi packs a bigger punch than ginseng. 2 to 3 packets of Gano Coffee can replace a whole pot of coffee. All-natural Gano Coffee tastes great and is a smart alternative for optimal health and longevity. Find out what people around the world are drinking for energy and to meet the demands of a busy day the natural and healthy way. Sample Gano Coffee for yourself for only the cost of shipping and handling. Try Gano Coffee today. Visit www.coffeeontheair.com. That's coffeeontheair.com. Or call 866-271-3653. That's 866-271-3653. Call now.
stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I hope many of you want to get the book, Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you go back and you analyze what happened, and of course I'm old enough to remember 1979, and at that time, why we had the Shah of Iran, he had probably the fourth or fifth largest army in the world. He was the bulwark in the Middle East against communism. And the CIA toppled him. The CIA was in contact with the Ayatollah Khomeini. They were working with him. They told the Shah he was going to have to leave. They ordered the Shah to release all the criminals there, to stop trying to clamp down on the revolutionary activity. And then they finally told the Shah of Iran to leave the country. I can remember this so well. And I was wondering at the time, why in heaven's name would we topple a friend and bring somebody to power who hated the United States? Didn't make much sense in 1979, but now 25 years later, 26 years later, why, it makes an awful lot of sense. And you have to understand that we're dealing with people who have been planning this for a long period of time. We're moving into World War III, and whether it's going to happen in 3 months or 6 months or 2 or 3 or 5 years, I'm not a prophet, but I can see this whole incredible plan unfolding. We knew back in 1983, even before the attack on the Marine barracks, it was coming, and they didn't tell the Marine commanders. They left those men there to die, just like they left the people at Pearl Harbor to die, like they left the people in the Twin Towers to die. They even ordered them in the South Tower to stay at their seats. Don't leave yet, the plane hasn't hit yet. I mean, they could, looking out the windows, they could see the people jumping out the windows in the North Tower and the flames and the smoke, and they're getting orders over the loudspeaker in the South Tower, stay at your seats, stay at your seats. And if you doubt that, of course, you need to get my newsletters, and we record those. We have, of course, actually three pamphlets now on the Foreknowledge 911. They knew the attack was coming, but they can't tell the American people that. Did you know that one of the hijackers actually defected in April of the 2000? If you want the page out of the report that came out from the Joint Select Intelligence Committee that was totally suppressed by the media, we'd be glad to send you the page from the report. Just give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 to begin to put things into their perspective. You need to get our three pamphlets called The Occult Hierarchy. They're all $9.95. In other words, the three of them for $9.95. The same as with our Foreknowledge 911. All three pamphlets, and we're adding actually two newsletters to that should have been in the original ones. And that's the third pamphlet we're expanding. But understand, we're involved in a spiritual battle, being fought on a political battlefield, and we're in for some very difficult times. The economy of Europe's going to begin to contract with all that money, the Iranian money gone, because with a fractional banking system, they won't be able to be doing as much loaning there, and they're already having financial problems in Europe, and we're facing financial problems in the United States, and it's all orchestrated as they're intentionally shifting our wealth to other countries, and as our men go overseas to fight for freedom. Why, of course, we're losing our freedom here at home. And believe me, they are going to expand this war in one way or another. It's going to be fascinating to see how it unfolds, but you have to understand the spirits of forces, the secret societies that are working behind the scenes, and there really are secret societies out there, and that's why you need my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, a good introduction to the secret societies or the secret government special. That's why you need to get the book written by the Librarian of Congress, James H. Billington, Fire in the Minds of Men. Fire in the Minds of Men. Fascinating. Going into the secret societies that were here at the time when America was created back in 1776. And as James H. Billington, the Librarian of Congress, points out, it has been a continuous revolution ever since then. And it had nothing to do with the Enlightenment and nothing to do with liberal ideas. It was all founded in the occult. But you're not going to read that any other place. Understand what's going on. And then, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival, pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. And we'll be back in just a few minutes here, Matt, with Radio Liberty.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
You are listening to GCN.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but please hold your calls until we specifically ask for them, because we have with us on the line from back in Washington, D.C. area, Stephen Camerota from the Center for Immigration Studies, and we're going to be talking about the invasion of America today. America really is certainly under attack. Massive numbers of people are coming in here illegally, and certainly they are influencing dramatically our way of life. We're moving from our traditional culture into a multicultural society, a multilingual society, and these things are not happening by accident. With that as a background, Stephen Camerota, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Well, just remember, this is an entirely different audience, so you can repeat whatever you had to say before. How serious a problem is this from your point of view?
Well, in many ways, when you stop to think about immigration, there really is no public policy that really touches on so many issues. You know, you can decide, well, do we want to spend a little more on Social Security, a little less? Do we want to spend a little more here or there? But when we think about sort of the most profound issues on our society, who we let in and how many impacts everything, not just the obvious things like schools and hospitals and how many roads and bridges you have to build, but also it has profound influence on your culture, on your politics, on your very future as a nation. And so now you might talk about some of the benefits and costs of immigration, but the point is, unlike so much of the other relatively unimportant stuff that we have a national debate about, immigration, I would argue, is probably the single most important issue confronting the country. But unfortunately, we don't have the kind of national debate that we need.
And I think you're absolutely right. Now, how does it impact upon the average individual? A lot of people are out there sitting around. They say, well, but that doesn't involve me. Or certainly, there may be a little bit more violence and a few gangs out there, but that's not going to affect me as long as I live in my nice little community. This isn't going to impact on my way of life. And I think that is a very, very short-sighted view. So could you pick up the idea? Why is this so important for the average American?
Well, I think it actually impacts so many things the average American cares about. I mean, it's difficult to overstate the impact on schools. All of the growth in the last 20 years in the school-age population, and there's been a lot of talk about this, has come from immigration. That is, children of immigrant children, and then the children of immigrants account for all the national increase in public school enrollment in the last 20 years, and this has had a big effect on lots of districts. Public hospitals. It appears that at least three-fourths of the growth in the uninsured population since 1989 is new immigrants or the child of a new immigrant. That is, someone born in the U.S., but to a recently arrived immigrant.
Well, now, of course, are you including legal and illegal?
Right, yes. These figures include both legal and illegal. The government collects, actually, you might be surprised, some pretty detailed data on things like school enrollment and health insurance coverage and so forth. And that data actually picks up a lot of illegals. We think that, in the 2000 census, 7 to 8 million illegal aliens sent their census forms back.
All right, fine. So basically, of course, we're seeing this effect upon education, but doesn't that cost us, the taxpayers, an awful lot of money?
Right. Well, one of the reasons why it costs taxpayers so much is that immigrants tend to be a lot poorer because they tend to have a lot less education than natives. About a third of immigrants have not completed high school compared to about 8% of natives. What that does, it means that regardless of legal status, they do tend to be a lot poorer, and so they tend to pay a lot less in taxes as a consequence.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Stephen Camerota from the Center for Immigration Studies.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Here's your chance for your business to get discovered free. That's right, free. The Genesis Communications Radio Network is holding a contest for 2 weeks of free advertising for any new company looking to get national and global exposure. Simply call toll-free 877-996-4327, extension 332, and request a GCN Media Kit. You will then be automatically entered to win one of three campaign packages to run for 2 weeks free on GCN's AM and FM affiliates, live internet streams, and short Wave Radio. We are so confident that advertising on GCN works that we are giving away 2 weeks of advertising free to prove it. Your campaign will include numerous 60-second commercials, a web banner on GCNlive.com, and a production of your commercial if needed. Call toll-free 877-996-4327, extension 332. Call now. Contest open to any business requesting a media kit by phone. No purchase necessary to win. Not open to current GCN sponsors. Odds of winning are dependent on number of entries. Contest ends 1/31/06.
Listen to the Nutramedical Report. I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, a pro-life physician who has worked as a contract civilian doctor with top classified U.S. companies and the military. We talk about the facts about the dangers of mercury and aluminum and cancer viruses in your vaccines, mind control technologies, non-lethal weapons, not-so-depleted uranium exposure of our troops, and government-sponsored terrorism of Oklahoma City and 9/11. With micronukes and control munitions, contrails and globalist-directed weather disaster of New World Orleans and the Patriot Act plan for a national ID, coming American Hiroshima and the avian flu pandemic, to name a few. I interview experts on functional medical wellness, and thousands of the best science-based health supplements are available at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call 888-212-8871. Inform yourself and take action to control your destiny and the destiny of America and our world at NutriMedical.com. Or call 888-212-8871.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Stephen Camerota, and we were simply talking about who is funding the advocacy groups that are pressuring the legislature to allow illegal immigrants to come in and have so many benefits and certainly be able to go to our university, subsidized education, and so many of the other benefits that illegal aliens get. And of course, Stephen was saying that a lot of the money comes from certainly from business, and of course it comes from our liberal foundations, from the Pew Foundation, the MacArthur Foundation, and yes, the usual suspects of the Ford Foundation is certainly one of the major funders of LULAC and Maldave, and even I saw the other day when Congress had given money to LULAC, which is one of these advocacy groups. Why would Congress be voting to give the money to a group that is advocating illegal activity? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just one of the things that they do. basically, there are a whole lot of groups that advocate, sometimes quite legitimately, on behalf of legal immigrants and refugees, but who, as part of their day job is to also work to subvert the rule of law. And, you know, that would include groups like, you know, LULAC and the RAZA. These groups generally, you know, they do a whole host of things, and some of which is not related to immigration and working for to protect the rights of illegals, and some is. And they have a lot of friends in Congress. Though, again, that's the kind of thing that gets stuck onto a much larger bill. If you were to call attention to it, generally it wouldn't happen. But nonetheless, that's the kind of thing that goes on.
Of course, Stephen was also making the point that a lot of our big business is really behind this. So, now, why is big business encouraging people to come here illegally and backing them up? I mean, don't they believe in the law? If they want to change the law, why don't they change it legally rather than supporting illegal activity? And I would think that would be criminal to support illegal activity. Or maybe if you're rich enough, well, you don't have to abide by the law.
Well, remember, things always don't work, you know, clear. Things are not always so black and white. The business community doesn't, you know, pay to set up a print shop so that illegal aliens can get forged driver's license. What they do is, when there was, say, there was an operation called Operation Vanguard, for example, a few years back in Nebraska, where they tried to subpoena all the employment records of meat processors and poultry meat processing plants in Nebraska. Well, it worked really well, and so what the business community did is they put together a lobbying outfit, hired the ex-governor of the state, and they just, you know, pressured the heck out of the congressional delegation, and they basically got the Immigration Service to back off. And, of course, the ethnic advocacy groups, you know, said all the usual things. It's racist, it's unfair, it's mean-spirited, and so forth. And so that, coupled with the money that the business community poured in, basically, so the Justice Department didn't say, well, we're not going to enforce law. What they said is, well, we'll stop now and study the issue, which is really what they said was, we're just not going to enforce the law. So my only point there is, that's how these things usually work. When funding comes up in Congress to, say, fund a national database to allow employers to verify that each new employee that they hire is legally allowed to work in the United States, again, employer advocacy groups, the Chamber of Commerce, the National Association of Manufacturers, and so forth, they work to make sure that doesn't get any funding.
Are you suggesting this is because they're hiring people who are in this country illegally at a lower wage rate, and they don't have to pay them all the benefits?
Well, it's a lot of things. One is, look, in any situation, what they want is just more workers to choose from, legally or not. If you increase the supply of something, in this case unskilled labor, you lower its price, and the price of labor is wages and benefits and working conditions and so forth. So that's one of the goals. Second, yeah, sure, there are employers who just like the idea of having illegals. Third, it's partly philosophical. Let's be fair. They figure that, look, it's just not up to the business community to play any role in enforcement. The government needs to control the borders, and we don't want our members to have to do anything in that regard. First off, it's not in our interest. We don't want to do it. It's burdensome. And so, you know, it's not just that they're actively working to subvert the law. I'm sure that, you know, in many ways they might sincerely believe that, look, this isn't something we want to do. So that's how it usually works. And they do these things, you know, behind the scenes. So it's not like they actually say, look, we don't think the law should ever be enforced. Rather, they just make sure that the agency charged with enforcing the law has no political support. They just make sure that the agency in charge enforcing the law has not enough money. They just make sure that whenever it does do anything, it gets its hand slapped. So that's what they do.
All right. Now, of course, it was back in, I think, 1985 or 1986 when the Reagan administration had a solution to the problem of illegal aliens. They made them all legal, so we didn't have any more illegal aliens. They were all legal, and I think maybe about 3 million they made legal. But they promised us, of course, that this was only a one-time, it would never happen again, and they were going to guard the border. But more than that, they were going to pass laws that would become a federal crime to hire or knowingly hire somebody who was here illegally. So have they enforced the laws?
No, not at all. I mean, I think everyone recognizes.
Well, if they haven't enforced the laws, then we've got people who are lawbreakers working in our government. They know what the law is, and they refuse to. They're very selective in which ones they enforce, and they put some people in jail for violating the laws, and other people they don't put in jail. That doesn't seem fair.
No, of course not. I mean, look, just last year there were only 3 employers fined for hiring illegal aliens. The Bush administration continuing the policy of the Clinton administration in its latter years, has just completely cut back on any kind of enforcement. You know, look, the border's largely wide open. The Bush administration continues let me give you another example. In the aftermath of September 11th, the Social Security Administration started sending out all these letters to employers saying, look, you've got all these employees who have Social Security numbers that we've never issued. They're just bogus. They don't match our records and so forth. Well, immediately the business community and the ethnic advocacy groups got on the Social Security Administration. The Bush administration immediately backed off and stopped sending the letter. So basically the Bush administration not only has chosen not to defend the border, has chosen not only not to go after employers who hire illegals, but it's chosen to let the Social Security Administration knowingly allow millions of people with bogus Social Security numbers work in the United States. It's chosen, for example, to have the Treasury Department write regulations that explicitly, and I could explain in more detail, but allows illegal aliens to open bank accounts, which makes their life a lot easier here. They can receive transfers from overseas and so forth. So, these are all choices. And I do think that's the most important thing for your listeners to understand. Illegal immigration is not the weather. It's not something we can't control. It's something that, because of the politics of it, we've chosen not only just to tolerate, but in some ways openly encourage. Now, we could undo that. We could change that policy. But the point is that this is a choice. It's not an inevitable. It's not something that we can't control.
All right, Chris, how much of this has to do with the philosophy of globalization? There are people working within our government who do not believe in the sovereignty of America, who don't believe in our Constitution, who really want world government, and this is one of the stepping stones to it, to move away from a one-language society to a multilingual society, one culture to a multicultural society. Isn't that how you would destroy a nation and then merge us into this world government?
Yeah, now, I mean, I don't think that it would be fair to say there's some kind of conspiracy, but there's no question that there are people, throughout the elites in the United States, from different perspectives, some from the right and some from the left, who don't take American sovereignty seriously, and actually, there's a whole group, let me give you an example, of liberals who want a whole lot of immigration because they see America as an intrinsically racist and evil society, and that by making America less white, this will break white supremacy and prevent America from doing, the nefarious things that they feel that it'll do. You find that view in some ways not uncommon among black intellectuals and the black elite in the United States, and also sort of the left part of the Democratic Party, that immigration is valuable because it will change the country in this positive way as they see it. Now, there's also the idea, again, on the left, to see immigrants as a kind of an aggrieved minority, as illegal aliens, as the next victim of American racism. Now, on the right, what you have, again, a group that doesn't tend to respect U.S. sovereignty, is people who see that individuals living in other countries simply just must have the right to leave and come here to improve their life. This might be called the libertarian or the extreme libertarian perspective, and again, that perspective is also not uncommon in the Republican Party. And that fact, coupled with the desire of the business community just simply to have access to more workers, creates an environment in which some very powerful interests work to subvert the rule of law. Though let me just say this: despite all that, Congress actually did. The House of Representatives passed a pretty darn good bill in December, an illegal immigration bill. It did a lot of things, like go after employers, like authorizing the building of a fence, and a whole lot of other important stuff that I could talk about. Now, the Senate, on the other hand, is much more captive to some of this left-right interest that I've been talking about, that don't see the border as legitimate, that have a whole series of agendas, some economic, some cultural, and the Senate is not likely to actually follow the House's lead. But you have to give the House an awful lot of credit. The Chamber of Commerce, then all the ethnic advocacy groups, the immigration lawyers, everybody pulled out all the stops to subvert it, and the bill actually got better over time, and they added even more enforcement to it. So I don't want your listeners to think it's hopeless. No, we actually had the House of Representatives, one of the Houses of Congress, pass a darn good bill. Now, the Senate's not likely to, except under one circumstance: if they hear from your listeners. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, they should call someone like our inspector, I suppose, and tell them what they think. I mean, he's going to introduce a bill that's going to be weak on enforcement, have some new guest worker program. At the end of the guest worker program, the illegal aliens are going to be given probably some kind of permanent residence and citizenship. You know, they need to call the president and say, look, we don't support this guest worker. We don't want to make people here illegally, make them legal residents of the United States. If they heard enough from their constituents, they wouldn't go ahead with it.
But, Stephen, there are already the laws on the books. They refuse, actually, to enforce the laws we already have. So let's imagine we have more laws. What would you make you think that if they won't already enforce the laws we have, that they are going to enforce a new set of laws?
That's a fair point. And the way to make them do it is public pressure.
All right. Well, that's why I do what I do, and I know what you do, why you do what you do. And our guest is Stephen Camerota, who's from the Center for Immigration Studies, and he's back there in Washington, D.C., on the front lines of this battle. America is under attack today. While our attention is diverted to what's going on in Iraq, why we're losing America, not by accident, but by, I believe, by intent.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Is black magic performed daily right in plain view on television, in movies, and in America's leading newspapers and magazines? I'm Tex Mars. My newest book, Codex Magica, is a real eye-opener. 624 pages, over 1,000 photographs. Codex Magica shows the world's leading celebrities, from movie stars and presidents to bankers and senators, caught in the act. Discover the true secret signs of the Illuminati, their mysterious symbols, their hidden language. Encyclopedic, documented, Codex Magica unmasks a conspiracy of immense evil. Please order your personal copy of Codex Magica on the internet at powerofprophecy.com. Or simply phone toll-free 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673.
You need your cup of coffee each morning, right? But you're not sure if it's right for your health. Now there's Gano Coffee. Gano Coffee is the new low-acid, low-caffeine, naturally healthy coffee. What makes Gano Coffee special is the secret ingredient Ganoderma, a concentration of red reishi mushroom, also known as the miraculous king of herbs. Known for its high nutritional value, reishi packs a bigger punch than ginseng. 2 to 3 packets of Gano Coffee can replace a whole pot of coffee. All-natural Gano Coffee tastes great and is a smart alternative for optimal health and longevity. Find out what people around the world are drinking for energy and to meet the demands of a busy day the natural and healthy way. Sample Gano Coffee for yourself for only the cost of shipping and handling. Try Gano Coffee today. Visit www.coffeeontheair.com. That's coffeeontheair.com. Or call 866-271-3653. That's 866-271-3653. Call now.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Stephen Camerota from the Center for Immigration Studies back in Washington, D.C. And in just a moment or two, we'll tell you how to get in touch with him and get their excellent information. But I was asking Stephen why it is that, this is something that a friend had told me, that the Federal Reserve System had put on a meeting in San Francisco recently where representatives of the banks here in the United States, in California, were told to help people who are here illegally be able to send bank drafts out of the United States back to their homes. And we should do everything to facilitate it. Now, here are people who are here illegally. They're violating our laws. I mean, they're stealing our heritage and our money. Then, of course, we find representatives of the Federal Reserve System encouraging the banks to help them, these lawbreakers who are violating our laws. This just doesn't make sense. Why would the Federal Reserve System be encouraging people who are sending $30 billion out of this country? It just doesn't make any sense. So much going on, doesn't make sense, Stephen.
Well, what happens is, now, that $30 billion figure, by the way, would include both legal and illegal, because we're not sure when money goes out whether it's legal or illegal. And these are just estimates. Now, what happens is there are lots of low-income, say, Hispanic immigrants. And there's a lot of legal immigrants in the United States who are unbanked. That is, they don't recognize or haven't really opened a bank before. So everyone says, well, gee, that's an issue, so let's think about that, and how might we help? But then that gets all confused and tied up with helping illegal aliens. And so what the Fed might say, or these employees might say, or a bank might say, is, well, look, we're just trying to help low-income people, people who are unbanked. We're trying to target Hispanics. But the consequence of what they do is that they look the other way on legal status. They start opening bank accounts even though someone doesn't have a Social Security number. They open a bank account, and this person says, well, I don't have a Social Security number. I don't have a driver's license. And they say, well, we'll take the Mexican identification card. And although you don't have a driver's license, a Social Security number, get a tax ID number. And then the IRS, which gives them out like candy, there's been all kinds of internal reports showing that the IRS is complicit here as well. The IRS then gives a tax ID number that then the bank takes and uses to fill in the form for the Social Security number. And so that's sort of how this plays out. It doesn't so much play out with a federal employee saying, darn it, let's let illegal aliens open bank accounts. What happens is the IRS gives out tax ID numbers in such a way, and the bank then adopts certain policies, and the Fed just looks the other way. And so what you end up with is a very large share of the people who we were trying to help, the unbanked, the low-income population, we end up also helping getting a whole lot of illegal aliens who we can easily identify because they don't have Social Security numbers and so forth. But nonetheless, that's how it sort of happens. But all that is a conscious choice. That is the key to understanding. Illegal immigration is not the weather. It's not something we can't do anything about.
And, of course, the thing is that we're not trying to enforce our laws. We've not tried to stop them from coming across the border. Very often the Border Patrol people will arrest them and then, of course, tell them, well, we're going to release you on your own recognizance. You're to come back in 2 weeks for a hearing, knowing full well that 99% of them aren't going to come back. Why would they do something that stupid unintentionally?
Well, because we made a choice. We made a choice, A, when we caught someone. Look, we could do a couple things. One, we could pressure the country. If they sneak through Canada or Mexico, we could have an agreement with those countries. If it's a Mexican, we just send them back to Mexico. If it's Canadian, we just send them back to Canada. It's when we catch what they're called the third parties, the other than Canadians, other than Mexicans, those countries aren't obliged to take them back, even though they came through their country, which is an interesting issue. We could work out an agreement with those countries where they would take them back, but we never do that because it's not a high priority for this administration, the previous one, going back, you know, years and years. Now, the other thing we could do is build enough detention space to hold those people. But again, as a conscious decision, we don't. And so then we end up with people knowing that we only have so many beds. So people from Brazil fly to Mexico, which they can do without a visa, come to the border, sneak across, get caught, say, hey, here's my Brazilian passport. Mexico isn't going to take them back, so therefore we say, okay, well, we'll parole you into the United States, and you got to show up in 2 weeks. And, of course, they never do, because if enough people do that, if we only had 2,000 or 3,000 beds to hold people, then they catch you know, hundreds of people a day, pretty quick all the beds are filled up, and so they're paroling people real quick. Word gets back to Argentina, word gets back to Brazil, word gets back to China, and so people get that you can just come in that way. But that represented a choice. It represented a choice not to immediately put them on a plane back to their home country. It represented a choice not to build the detention space. And it represented a choice not to work out an agreement with Mexico and Canada to take these people who come through their country to sneak into ours. But we, again, because it's been a low priority, because this administration and the one before that and the one before that and each successive Congress has not cared enough about it, we've let this situation arise. So now and so everyone gets it. Everyone gets that you can game the system. Everyone gets that America is not serious about its laws.
No, maybe our leaders have a different agenda. Maybe they really don't care that they're coming in and, of course, undermining the fabric of our society. We'll be back in just a moment.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Yeah. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
When my son started having behavior problems, the Total Transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Do you need an instruction manual for your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance and backtalking. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Stephen Gammarata from the Center for Immigration Studies. And at this point, I'm going to ask you to get out your telephone number or your email or however it would be that people can get the information that your organization puts out, because I know that your organization is on the front lines of this battle.
Yes, anyone can visit our website. It's cis.org, like Center for Immigration Studies abbreviated. So it's cis.org.
CIS.org. Now, is there an email or is there a telephone number or anything of that sort?
Well, I think the best way to just get everything and to contact us is through the website.
All right, fine. Is there an email there that people can get in touch with you that way?
Sure. If people would really like to email me, they could email me at SAC, SAC at CIS.org.
Of course, I get things from you regularly on the email, so you must have a fairly substantial email list.
Right. If people were really interested, we run an email list that provides, it's just a straight news service, all the stories and research on immigration on all sides of the issue. We send that out every day, and there's maybe 6,000 or 8,000 people on that. Now, there's also another list you could be on to just get announcements of our new research coming out on the issue as well. So.
All right, fine. Well, is there any good legislation that our listeners should be supporting? Anything you mentioned, of course, that the House had passed legislation, but won't it die at the end of the year, or will it have an opportunity to be introduced now into the Senate?
No, right. There will be something in the Senate. That debate is supposed to start at the beginning of March. That's what I'm hearing. Maybe sometime at the end of February, just not sure. But that legislation is not going to be good. The Senate legislation will create some new guest worker program legalizing illegal aliens here, and it's not even clear it'll be any kind of a guest worker program, because in the end the illegal aliens get permanent residency and ultimately citizenship. But that's how they're going to sell it. They're going to say, well, they're guest workers, even though they're all staying. I know it sounds outrageous and ridiculous that someone would say that, but that's what they're going to do. And because, you know, it's just marketing. And I think that, you know, it's not going to, then what happens, as your listeners may know, is that the Senate will pass a bill, the House passes a bill, and then it goes to conference. They come up with a compromise, and it has to be passed again by each House. It's not clear that they're going to be able to work out a compromise. If people think that they would like to see the law enforced, then they need to call their senator and say, I want you to support a bill like the House passed, no guest worker program, enforcement first, at the border, against employers, and all the other things. We want a bill like the House passed, no guest workers, no legalization. If the fact is, if senators heard that enough, you know, congressmen, you know, they're not that committed to the issue. They would buckle, mostly. Now, there are a few idealists. A guy like John McCain, for example, you know, he's just not very interested in enforcing law. He wants to legalize illegal aliens. He would be very hard to not to convince. And there are lots of other, a lot of Democrats like that. But there are people who can be moved on the issue. And so, if they heard from their constituents, but if they don't hear from them, they're just going to listen to the lobbyists, and we're going to get something that doesn't reflect the national interest.
All right, fine. Well, of course, I mean, what we're seeing is the destruction of America, because the figures that I have and the figures that were used by the representative from the Federal Reserve System recently was 20 million illegal aliens in America. I know other people, there's a new book out now, Fighting Illegal Immigration. You used a figure of 11. Isn't it possible that there are a lot more here, that this is really much more of a problem? And if there are really 20 million and we make them illegal, then they'll be able to bring in all of their friends and relatives from south of the border, and soon the America we know will cease to exist.
Well, this is an interesting question. Let me say this. You know, I do weigh in a lot on this debate. This is an area where I focus a lot. I come down on the side of the debate that there's 11 to 12 million for a couple of reasons. Just looking at, say, birth data, most births to people are recorded in the United States. There just aren't enough births. If we look at school enrollment, it's grown dramatically, but it doesn't look like, and it looks like there are a heck of a lot of illegals and children of illegals, but again, the implication of that administrative data from public schools and from public hospitals suggests more like 11 or 12 million, but it's a debate. I recognize that. Let's talk a little bit about the issue of culture. Let me talk about three things I think that are happening. I think that it would be a mistake to say that at least legal immigrants and immigrants in general don't want to assimilate. I don't think that's what's happening. I think there are several factors. One is the numbers. Right now we have about 36 million immigrants in the United States. That's almost triple the number in 1910. As a share of the population, it's a little less than in 1910. But the numbers themselves are so enormous that it tends to overwhelm the assimilation process. A million immigrants can create the kind of linguistic and geographic isolation that's necessary. They can create their own social institutions and media outlets. And so with these huge numbers, it's basically overwhelming the assimilation process. Another factor to keep in mind that's hindering assimilation is technology. In the past, the tie with the home country was broken, partly because a third of immigrants actually come from Mexico. It's so close. But also, even if you come from China, you can call home, you can visit home, you can listen to your hometown radio station on the internet. The tie with the home country isn't broken like it was in 1900 when you had to book a steamboat passage that took a long time and cost you, you know, 5 years' pay. Those days are gone, so that also tends to hinder assimilation. And finally, elite attitudes in the United States are different. In the past, there was a very strong sense that immigrants not only had to learn English and drive on the right side of the road, but also had to come to see American history as their history. As John Fonte of the Hudson Institute talks about, the idea of patriotic assimilation was widely shared by the elites in the United States. That's completely gone now. The elites have embraced a very different notion in which assimilation is now seen as derided as a kind of Anglo-conformity, and that they have a much harsher critique of American history, that America is a racist, classist, homophobic country, and immigrants absorb that message as well. Now, they do get some positive messages about the United States. So I guess let me just say three things. The numbers are huge, the technology is different, elite attitudes are different, and finally, the other big thing is that in 1920, basically, 22 and 24, the United States cut immigration dramatically by two-thirds or three-fourths. And for about 60 years, immigration was very low. And that also greatly has helped the assimilation of Italians and Jews and Poles and all that huge flow that we had between, say, 1870 and 1910. And so all that is different now. We're not cutting it off. The technology is different. The elite attitudes are different. And the numbers are just so enormous that they're just overwhelming the assimilation process. But this is, I should point out, different than saying that immigrants don't want to assimilate. I don't think that would be true. And not that I'm saying that you're saying that.
I think that they don't want to learn English. I think that they really want to be Mexicans. In fact, we are doing everything we can to encourage that. We're allowing people who even become citizens here to vote in Mexican elections, just as we're allowing Iraqis who are American citizens to vote into the Iraqi elections.
Right.
What sort of madness is that? Our elite really have an intense effort to change us from being a sovereign nation to be part of this whole global concept. Their loyalty, I don't think, is to America, but to this global dream.
Yeah, I agree with you. This kind of internationalist ideology is deeply troubling, and I do think it's an impediment. It's part of the change in elite attitude. So my position on this would be that we've got to bring those numbers down. The legal numbers are more than 1 million people are allowed to settle in the United States permanently each year. Legally, the illegal alien population is growing by 500,000 a year. The numbers are just too big. We probably need to cut the total number by maybe two-thirds, bring that down to something more manageable, until such time as we change our elite attitudes. And I don't see that happening anytime soon. If you will, the modern world with its technology that I've talked about, with the change in elite attitudes and so forth, just is incompatible with mass immigration. Maybe there was a time when we could assimilate so many people, though, again, I point out that we did cut it off and keep it low for 60 years, which did greatly facilitate assimilation. But the bottom line is that time has passed.
I do not believe
that in the modern America it makes sense to bring in this many people.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, at one time there were people who wanted English to be the official language of this country. And I remember in 1988 when I was running for Congress, of the Republican nomination for the Congress, Senator Hayakawa, who was a Japanese-American, but he was an American, and he was concerned about the lingual aspects, and he wanted English to be the official language of this country. But even in 1988, the globalists were there. They had a different agenda. And they did not want this to be an English-speaking country. They wanted it to be a multilingual country. And so there really are people who have a different worldview than the average American. I don't think the average American understands there really are people who have no loyalty to this country. Would that be a fair statement to our culture, to our language?
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, clearly those people exist. There are clearly what I would call anti-Americans, but they actually, I think, make up a small percentage. You know what there are a lot of? Are what we call at the Center for Immigration Study, the phrase was coined by a colleague of mine, Mark Krikorian, the idea of post-American. That is, for their perspective, they've kind of moved beyond their country. They don't so much hate America. It's just that they see national borders and the United States as kind of an anachronism, a throwback to the past, sort of like medieval chivalry. Oh, isn't that quaint that people are patriotic and love their country? But I've moved beyond that. I'm a citizen of the world, that kind of thing. That sort of perspective, that kind of underlying ideology, is very common in American elites. I don't think it's common in American heartland. I don't think most Americans share it, but nonetheless, I do think the elite share it, and that's deeply problematic. And that's one reason why we simply can't have a lot of immigration, because the immigrants absorb that ideology, and that that's extremely destructive for the kind of national cohesion that you're talking about. So, but again, I think what it is not that they're anti-American, and again, I'm not saying that's what you said. It's not that they're anti-American. They're just indifferent to the country.
Well, I would say that they are anti-American. You either love this country and you believe in this country and its ideas, or you would like to see it merged into this global society where our Constitution will no longer exist, where we will, of course, begin to have the same rights and same privileges that the people of other countries do. I think that is a real tragedy. They can tell you everything wrong with America, but nothing right. Well, let's go to Mark, who's calling from Salinas. Mark, do you have a comment or question for our guest?
Yes, I do. Great program today, gentlemen. Question for your guest. I've heard you use the word immigrant a few times on the program today, and I was just curious, when you use that immigrant term, are you including illegal aliens in that, or is that separate from illegal aliens?
Well, various times we've talked about different things. In the terms of there are about 36 million immigrants in the United States, so a little less than a third, we think, 11 to 12 million, are illegally here. And of that 36 million, there's probably about 1.5 million
okay.
who are here on long-term temporary visas.
Okay, so the way you use illegal alien, that's encompassed in the word immigrants, right? I think it's more accurate if you refer to the illegal aliens as illegal aliens and the immigrants, you could say that those are the people filling out the paperwork and properly coming into the country, because words are very important and they mean specific things. And if you use words interchangeably, you can almost make it a haze where it's not discernible. You know what I'm talking about?
It's a fair point, but we need to understand a couple things. There is no clear line between illegal aliens and legal immigrants. I know we'd all like to believe
There's not a difference between illegal aliens and immigrants that come in
Most
through the paperwork?
Research shows. Yeah, let me explain. So, and you may disagree. So, this
okay.
is an important
yeah,
point.
I'm ready to learn.
Most research shows that in any given year, somewhere between 40% and 50% of legal immigrants—that is, new people given a green card—are legal aliens in the United States who are basically laundering their status from within the United States. We know that both from INS administrative records and from the new immigrant survey funded by the NIH, and we know that as well from other demographic data.
Okay,
a very large share of people who are legal immigrants in any given year are, as I say, former illegal aliens. We also know from sociological...
I don't mean to interrupt you. You made a good point there, but I know the time's limited.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I had to cut him off because he wasn't going to let you talk. And, Mark, I'm sorry, but I don't want to get into a shouting match on this. I personally tend to agree with you, Mark. I am very concerned that we are clouding this issue. I believe it's closer to 20 million. I have those figures from high government officials, but, of course, there's so much here to confuse the issue and whether illegal or legal. I think it makes a lot of difference whether you have come here legally or whether you are violating our laws. And a nation that will not enforce its laws, will not maintain its border, is no longer a sovereign nation. Well,
let me just say this. It's true that it's important to understand the differences, but it is also important to understand the interconnectedness of legal and illegal immigration. It would be a mistake to imagine, for example, that we can leave legal immigration high and not have a lot of illegal immigration with it. As I was trying to explain, sociological research shows that one of the best predictors of whether you decide to come to America illegally, say, from your village in Mexico, is if someone has come from your family legally to the United States. It's the legal immigrants who often draw in the illegal aliens.
I think that we have to say, when you come in illegally, you're coming in illegally. Don't say that somebody drew them here. They came in, admittedly, they want a better life. Admittedly, that may have been our economic policies that has impoverished the people of Mexico. What we need to do is solve the problems, but certainly not by destroying this country, which is what we're doing when we encourage illegal immigration. And would you concede that our government policies are encouraging illegal immigration?
Sure. As we've talked about. And just keep another thing in mind. This may not be something that everyone wants to hear, but the research on, say, the fiscal cost, the cost to taxpayers, suggests that it's the legal immigrants who come with very little education who are much more fiscally costly to us than illegal aliens.
Well, why are we letting people in here? Coming into this country and then getting onto welfare, people who come to this country should be sponsored. They should be somebody who's responsible for them so they do not get onto
right.
our Medicare, and they do not get onto our welfare. And people who come to this country, it's a privilege to come to this country, but the idea that we would bring people into this country and then immediately let them on the dole is either organized madness or somebody wants to destroy America.
Yeah, except that, remember what happens. Most legal immigrants who end up using welfare programs, what happens is they come to America and they work. But they're, because of their educational attainment, their income is very low. So they qualify for the child tax payment and the earned income tax credit. And their kids can sign up for free school lunches.
But that is, that is entirely wrong. If people want to come to America, they should not come here and expect to get any largesse from the public treasury. And the fact that we're offering it simply means that we are encouraging people to come and bankrupt our nation.
Or self-sufficient. It's a fair point. But I don't think it's reasonable to accept to bring in folks who have, legal Mexican immigrants to the United States have something like 10 or 11 years of schooling on average. So in that environment, they're going to use a lot of public services. I don't see how we can avoid that. Either we select immigrants who are self-sufficient, or we accept the fact that they're going to use a lot of social
then
services.
Then maybe we ought to try to get in people who are self-sufficient.
Fair enough. That is a very reasonable point.
And there are people all throughout the world who love to come to America who are capable, who are well-educated. Why are we bringing in people who can't make a living here? Why are we bringing people who have to go on the dole? It doesn't make sense unless there's another agenda behind our immigration attitude. We've got just a couple of minutes here to wrap up the program. But I think it's so important people understand that nothing going on really makes sense unless there's another agenda.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
You don't love me anymore. You used to take such good care of me.
Is that my car talking to me?
Yes, you neglect me. Change my oil late most of the time. Use the cheapest gas. I'm getting sick. One of these days, I'm just gonna give up.
Wait a minute. I've got 3 more years of payments on you.
If you want me to last forever, you need to add protected engine treatment, protected transmission treatment, and especially protect a complete fuel system treatment. Protected's unique synthetic fortifiers treat the metal and the oil to reduce friction like no other.
Okay, I'll add some Protecta, but you'll have to perform.
How about faster acceleration, more horsepower, longer lasting? I'll always be there for you.
So if you want more, treat it right with Protecta by SFR. For a special offer of free shipping, go to www.sfrcorp.com or call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's www.sfrcorp.com or call 888-USE-SFR-1.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's 1 in 4 adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at researchedherbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I really do understand immigration. We have certainly a great new 4-tape set on immigration. We have a book called Importing Immigration. Much of this is funded by the Ford Foundation, and that's the basic theme of this book, written by a former congressional. Fighting Immigration is the title of it. Fighting Immigration Anarchy. But we also have another book called Importing Immigration. So we have Importing Immigration and Fighting Immigration Anarchy. And then, of course, we also have the 4-tape set on immigration. And I hope we still have copies of that excellent video by Glenn Spencer on the conquest of Aztlan. Then you'll actually hear the Mexican activists talking about taking America and how those of your Anglos better get ready to go back to Europe where you belong. You have to understand all of this is simply to inflame the European people here. To divide us from the Mexicans. The Mexicans are being manipulated in this whole thing. Even the people who are coming in here illegally are being manipulated. Because, of course, what they really want is racial strife. They want to be able to play one group against the other. Mexican against white, white against black, black against Hispanic. This is the old idea of divide and conquer. There really are people who are moving to plunge us into a one-world government. And they really want a dictatorship in America. And our boys are going overseas to fight for freedom. We're losing our freedom at home. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. My producer says we no longer carry that video. But we do carry the books. We talked about Importing Revolution, of Fighting Immigration Anarchy, and our new 4-tape set, great new 4-tape set on immigration. You need to have the information. You need to understand that behind everything going on, there is another agenda. And, of course, we're being drawn into another confrontation, expanding the war in the Middle East, and I really fear for my country. That I reflect that more and more people are going to die, not only in the Middle East, but I fear that there will be retaliation here at home because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Now, your job is to find out if what we're saying is true. You should get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You should get our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy that rules the world. You should get the book written by the Librarian of Congress, James H. Billington. It's called Fire in the Minds of Men, that will tell you the world revolution is all about occult secret societies. And, of course, he only takes you up to the time of the Cuban Revolution. Since he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and one of the leaders, he's not going to tell you the whole story, but he tells you more than most other people will. There always have been secret societies that were founded in the occult and were dreamed of creating a world government. So again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You need to get the book, Importing Revolution, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. You need to get the 4-tape set on immigration. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We have a little pamphlet on We Are a Republic, another one on the history of money, another one on genetic engineering. It gets into, of course, the vaccines. And, of course, the deadly effect of some of those vaccines. Did you know that the homosexuals who were foolish enough to take the hepatitis B experimental vaccine back in 78 and 79 in San Francisco, over 75% came down with AIDS, and most of them are dead? I wonder why so many of those got who took that vaccine, because it wasn't that prevalent in the rest of the homosexual society. Do you think there might have been something in the vaccine? Well, you need to get, of course, our latest talk. It's called Planned Population Reduction. That's Planned Population Reduction. You'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. It's either a video or a DVD. Talk we gave for the Prophecy Club. And if you can stand listening to me talk for 2.5 hours, I think you'll learn an awful lot. And, of course, there are a lot of other graphics and other things there to make it break up the monotony. But I'll tell you, the people who've seen that video have told me it changed their life forever. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products. Please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.